you will, turn your Bibles tonight to the book of John. Just out of curiosity, if I were to have a raise of hands, how many of you would have an idea of what John chapter 21, verse 25 says? It's the last verse of the last chapter. No cheating. All right, John.
These things were written.
No, that's no. You're thinking First John. Oh. I'm glad for this because this is going to make me feel better. So this verse, I've read through my Bible multiple times, and I'm sure as soon as you turn there, you can turn there now, John 21:25. It really stuck out to me the last time I read through John, and I've actually had a lot of time to contemplate this. It really sticks out to me when you stop and think about what that verse actually says. I'll read it for you. It says, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Amen. Now, just for the sake of fun of it, I love facts. I looked up the square footage of the largest library in the world, not counting the Vatican, okay, because nobody knows how big the Vatican's library is, which is the Library of Congress, right? The Library of Congress has 1.5 million square feet. That's just square feet. Now, that's not counting the books stacked on top of each other. That's just the square footage of the building, 1.5 million. Now, your average home in America is about 3,000 square feet. So you can kind of see that is a lot of information. Doesn't compare to how much information would be written if everything that Jesus Christ did were to be written down. You would think that the creator of the universe, right, he has done so much. You got eternity past, and we're not going to even go to eternity future. But just taking the things that he's done, the world couldn't contain it if it was written in books. Now, that being said, you have a book in your lap. And most of us have several of the same book at home. That is condensed down to something you can fit in your back pocket. And God thinks that is all you need in order to grow as a Christian. That is amazing to me. Now, I did some research on data. I love computers. I could probably say I'm a computer nerd, although technology has far outpaced my understanding of it. But back when IBM first created their first storage drive, it literally took a semi-truck to move it. Guess how many gigabytes that thing was? Zero. It wasn't even a gigabyte. It was 256 megabytes. Megabytes, guys. I mean, we have phones now that have 1 terabyte of storage. Now, that is some compressed information, right? A terabyte of data is a ton of data. I have 500 gigabytes on my phone. I think I've filled up almost all of it with my photos and videos. I got over 30,000 photos and videos. I like to take pictures, okay, and I don't like deleting them. But that is a ton of information. Now, you take the world over full of books. That is a ton of information. And the Lord compressed everything that you need as a Christian down into something you could fit in your back pocket. Now, there are a couple scientists in Israel. This was back in, I believe, the late 2000s. They were able to take the complete Bible and put it on a storage drive the size of a grain of salt. That is impressive data compression. Leave it to the Israelis, right? So they were able to compress the Word of God into something the size of the grain of salt. The Word of God is never going to disappear, right? You could, the Roman Catholic Church tried years ago when the Gutenberg, Bible was printed, and we finally got printers, and the Catholic Church was like, oh man, that's not good for us. Let's start burning them. Well, now they can't even, right? You got it on your phone. You got millions of copies all over the world. And here we have the Word of God in our hands, compressed data. Tonight, I would like to give you a little glimpse into my personal testimony of how the Lord opened the Word of God and basically started my personal relationship with Him. Growing up in church here, I was forced to memorize Scripture, right? Went to Sunday school under the Sadics. We were forced to memorize Scripture. We knew the Bible stories. Went over to the Philippines with my parents. Was a missionary kid. All missionary kids do is just Bible stuff. I'm kidding. But it wasn't until I was 16 years old, and I was actually sitting under my dad's Discipleship 2 course, that he started teaching how to study the Bible. And that is the thing that started my relationship with the Lord in a personal way. Before that, the Lord God was just, for me, the God of my parents. And tonight, my goal is to get, especially the younger crowd, hopefully intrigued enough that you will make your parents' God your own God. You can sit here in church for years. I sat here for 13 years. I knew the stories backwards and forwards. I had chapters memorized. It wasn't personal to me until I actually grasped how to study the Word of God for myself. And again, tonight, my goal is just to do the best I can to compress how many hours, probably 2 or 3 years of information. I have a notebook here. This is one of three. So we're going to be here a while. But I'm not up here to puff myself up or show you my big head. That's between me and the mirror, okay? But I want to show you just a little glimpse that got me started in my personal walk with the Lord, that got me excited and wanting and desiring to read the Bible on my own and study the Bible for myself. I still struggle with other walks in my personal life. Prayer is one of them. It's hard for me to pray. But when it comes to studying, I love to study the Bible. To me, it's a delight. And honestly, that's one of the first things you're going to need if you want a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You could pray to God. You can talk to God anytime. You're supposed to pray without ceasing, right? But the way that God communicates back to you is through this book. It's like a telephone, right? You call your friend up, you could talk his ear off. If he doesn't talk back to you, you're not going to get much information from him, right? That's the same way with God. You can go call God, Lord, please help me with this, please help me with this. We just spent a couple minutes in prayer asking the Lord for help, right? But he gives his answers through the Word of God. And as Christians, it's our duty to study the Word of God to get those answers for ourselves. You all know the passage very well. Let me get to my notes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. This will be our theme verse for the night. 2 Timothy 2:13. Memorize this verse, highlight it in your Bible. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Young people, I hope that by the end of tonight, you will have a good idea of how to study the Bible for yourself and be able to go to the Word of God when you're looking for answers and actually get them from the Word of God. I want to solidify your belief. See, we call ourselves Bible-believing Christians, right? That's what, right? We're Bible-believing Christians. But tonight, the challenge is how well do you know what you believe? Because we can have these doctrines and we can sit in this church, right? And we could go out and minister to the people over in Malawi and hand them a John and Romans and try to, you know, witness to them, get them started in their Christian walk. And we can have all this knowledge, but how well do you actually know it? See, I had to study for my journeyman electrical exam. I am a terrible test taker. I failed it 4 times. The problem is, I knew what I was supposed to know. I just didn't know it well enough. So as Christians, you can know what you're supposed to know. I'm supposed to have these doctrines. I'm supposed to know, this doctrine, this doctrine, this doctrine. But how well do you know where it's based upon? Where are you getting that belief in there? You say the word of God, true, but can you prove it? Can you show it to someone that's asking? One of the things that was really convicting to me, I remember watching a Dr. Ruckman chalk talk, and he asked his congregation, if I were to come up to you personally and ask you, can you give me 10 verses on training your child? Could you do it? If I were to ask you, can you give me 15 verses on eternal security? Could you do it? See, these are doctrines that we know, but can you back it up? And the goal tonight is to be able to give you the ability to go get that information for yourself from the Word of God. So there are a couple things here that I'd like to show you. Of course, there are a couple warnings because knowledge, the Bible says, knowledge puffeth up. And with knowledge, there is the danger of pride, right? We as Christians are very good and quick to find someone that knows a little less Bible than us and want to just cut them up. Say, hey, do you know this? Do you know this doctrine? You know about this, right? And it's pretty easy to do if you're in a Bible-believing church just because people don't know the Word of God like they should. So these three things I got here were the three keys, I guess you could say, for me that opened my eyes to studying the Word of God, and I can't take any credit for this. This is kind of what I've been taught, and I'm just going to share it with you. But these three at the top here, keywords, numbers, and colors in the Word of God, are kind of like signals. So like I said, I love computers. I love working with computers. I design websites on the side. And let me tell you, every single code, every single little dot, every single little comma or bracket or really any dot that you add into a line of code is going to change the outcome. It's going to change how you see the data on your screen. And the Word of God, when you open up some of these passages and you look at the keywords, it's going to open up a completely different layer. Now, by raise of hand, how many of you have heard pastors say that's a key word for the tribulation? Or that's a key phrase for the tribulation? A perfect example would be like those days, right? Those days is a key word. It kind of points to the tribulation. If you see that in your Bible, a lot of times it points to the tribulation. Another one would be Selah, for rest, right? And that points to the millennium. So those we know. Now, a keyword is not a magic wand. You can't just take it anytime you see that word and say, ah, that's the doctrine that I'm looking for, and then just, you know, take that passage and run away with it. You got to compare scripture with scripture. Here, I know it's probably a little confusing to see from there, but I'm just going to go through these a little quick. So if you will turn with me first to, let me get my notes here. 2 Peter chapter 3, first rule when it comes to studying your Bible, and it's important to know these. I highly recommend you write it in your Bible, because when you go through and study your Bible, you're going to need to follow these general rules, okay? First one is determine the context. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, it says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So you got to know the context when you're studying, right? Another good rule, we're going to go through these fast because we got a lot of ground to cover. Rule number two is no private interpretation. 2 Peter chapter 1, not very far away. 2 Peter 1 and verse 20 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Don't take a passage and say, oh, I think this is what it means, without comparing it to the rest of the Bible. You're going to really damage yourself and possibly a younger Christian. You're going to cause them to stumble. It's not of private interpretation. That's how a religion is created. That is how a cult is formed. They take one passage, they will run with it and interpret it privately, not comparing scripture with scripture. Next, give God's word the benefit of doubt. You guys can argue with me later. Is it give God's word the benefit of doubt or benefit of the doubt? The. Okay, because the internet says doubt, just of doubt. Internet's wrong. So the Bible says, go over to, Romans chapter 3 and verse 4. Romans 3, 4. See what happens when you listen to the internet? You look like a stupid idiot. Romans 3, 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So, if man tells you something, and it's contrary to the word of God, we're going to get down to that later on, but if he tells you something, and it's contrary to the word of God, tell him to stuff it. With grace. Okay, but give God the benefit of doubt. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't lie. Just take God's word for what it says and believe it. If you don't understand it, ask God for understanding. You don't have to understand everything, right? All right, next one. Always take a passage literally until it's impossible to do that. A perfect example of this is John chapter 2. Just one example. And guys, we could be here for hours because I got so many notes up here. Like I said, went through this a couple years, but John chapter 2 and verse 19, Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Did Jesus actually mean for the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Jews to go tear down the temple? No. He's talking about his body. Don't take it literally, right? If you can't take it literally, then it's figurative. Just a general rule. These are general rules. Next. If it's contrary to what you believe, then change what you believe. Your understanding of the word of God is not above God's. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And if you have a problem with that, take it up with your creator, right? He, like I said, I love going back to John chapter 21, verse 25, because he condensed everything he wants us to know in this book. So you would think he's going to make it perfect, especially if he's promised that he's going to preserve his word for all generations, right? It's perfect. Just believe it and change what you need to change to fit his ways. Next one, six, never violate a clear passage with an obscure one. People do that all the time. I've had so many conversations with people through the years, and they'll find a verse and they will, you know, bring it up to me and be like, hey, what do you think of this verse? It just doesn't really make sense. It could probably be this and this and this. And it's like, why are you confusing yourself with a passage that's not very clear when you have like 15 other verses to describe exactly what you're looking for? They like to bring up questions and they like to argue and basically waste your time. Just, if it's clear in the word of God, leave it clear. Don't make the waters muddy. Don't confuse someone. Don't try to, you know, make yourself sound smart by asking a question. I love people that do that. It's really fun. Next, never base a doctrine on a question. People do that all the time. People do it all the time. I'll give you an example here. Let's see. Genesis. Oh, no, sorry, not Genesis. First Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're in the New Testament, so we'll stay there. 1 Corinthians 15, 29. Else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? And a religion will take that verse and build, oh, we need to baptize for your dead relatives. You can get baptized for your dead relatives. That is absurd. Don't base a doctrine on just a question in the Bible. Compare scripture with scripture. And I know I'm preaching to the choir, but sometimes the choir needs preaching too, right? So, a good rule, law of first mention and repetition. A lot of times, the Word of God will have the Word show up in your Bible more than once. If it shows up in your Bible more than once, use your iPhone or Android, look up the Word, or get a concordance if you like to do it the hard way. Get a concordance and look up that Word. The first time it shows up, most of the time, again, these are just general rules, but most of the time, the first time it shows up, the Lord will give you the meaning or the definition for that word and how he expects you to use it through the rest of the Word of God. God set up the Bible in a simple way. It's simple to understand, and that's why I love it. That's why tonight I hope I can build your faith in believing and knowing why you believe what you believe. And lastly, rightly divide. That is comparing scripture with scripture. Don't take a passage and just, you know, come up with your own doctrine just that way. I don't know. People do it for all sorts of different reasons, to get attention or be famous on YouTube or something like that, right? But Galatians chapter 2, quickly. Galatians chapter 2. Then we will dive into a few of the keywords. But Galatians chapter 2, it says in verse 7. That's not. One second. Yeah. Nope. Oh, okay. Sorry. I wrote down the wrong reference. Go to. Let me just check one more spot here. This happens to everyone. Just don't think about it. I have seen pastor do this, so, okay, John 16:12. Oh, okay. John 16, here we go. John 16:12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you. The Lord has a lot to say to us. It's us that doesn't like to listen. We don't give God the time of day. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. How does he do that? How does he do that? How does the Holy Spirit guide you in all truth? It's through the Word of God. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. You can prophesy by looking through the Bible, looking at some of these keywords that we're going to look at in just a second, and be able to tell people with a clear answer what's going to happen to them. Right. What other religion can do that? Right. Amen. You can't turn to anybody out there that doesn't get their light from the Word of God and say, aha, they know what's going to happen. You can't. We're the only people that, when we believe the Word of God and take it for what it says, face value, and believe it and apply it, you could tell the future. That's an amazing thing. And sometimes we just take that for granted. I really think we do. Because how many people do you knock on their doorstep or knock on their door, you go and say, hey, do you know for sure where you're going when you die? Yeah, I hope so. That's the best they can give you. Yeah, I hope so. You can tell them, I know for sure because God's word says so here, that you know where you're going when you die. You could have that same assurance for any scenario in your life. if you go to the Word of God. You can. So, that being said, these are the 10 rules, general ones. If you think of another one, let me know. I would love to add to my notebook collection. So, keywords, we're going to look at keywords. We probably won't have time for numbers and colors. But for starters, what I did here is wrote out the keywords, and then the numbers next to them are how many times it shows up in your Bible. Just that word or that phrase specifically. Perfect example, and I texted Brother Ian after, I think it was the following day. Last Wednesday when he preached on trees, or taught on trees, that is one key word. Now, everything that he taught, I had never thought of it from that angle before. And just me personally, one of my favorite studies in the Bible is a study on trees. I literally have pages. Did I not send you pages? I sent him pages of my notes on the study of trees, and none of them were like his. That is one key word in the Bible. You could do that to all of these. That book is deep. That book goes so deep. You could be in it for years and not even touch the surface. And so these things that I want to show you, we obviously don't have time to go to every single one, but we do. I have verses for every single one. I would highly encourage you to go home, take a screenshot of this or whatever. Go home, take these words. All of these point to Jesus Christ. If you see these in your Bible, holy arm, upright, true witness, faithful witness, my servant, innocent blood, any of these, most of the time, again, it's not a magic wand. You can't use it on every single time it shows up, but most of the time it's going to point to Jesus Christ, and it will show you things about Jesus Christ. It will tell you what kind of a man he is. It'll tell you what kind of a God he is. It'll tell you where he was born or when he's coming back. Those type of things are opened to you because of these key words. When you have an understanding of how, it, and it's really simple, really simple. All you do is get your iPhone out, get your Android out, get you a good Bible search program, type in the word shepherd, shows up 40 times, go to the first one, read that verse, get the context, remember, follow the rules, get that context, go to the next one, go to the next one, and start looking at how the Word of God uses the word, shepherd. Look at how the Word of God uses the word shepherd, and you're going to find out how much God actually cares for his flock. You're going to find out how, you know, many times we call out to him for help. Like I said, we prayed here tonight. We call out to him for help. Hey, Lord, please help me with this. I'm struggling in this area. You're his sheep, and his sheep know his voice. Do you know his voice? Because this is how he answers you. He doesn't answer you through, you know, the auditory canal. He answers you through his word, through the eyes, right? So, I do want to show you just one or two of these just to give you a glimpse into this. Of course, you all know the word, capital W. The word, capital W, refers to Jesus Christ. Pastor Kyle has mentioned that one quite a bit. A rock is really another really common one. Catholics like to take that passage for themselves in Matthew. Passover, Pastor Kyle actually just did that one recently. The Passover refers to Jesus Christ. Here's a good one. So, lion. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. It says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals." So this is how this works. You go to these, you go to these passages in the Bible. You find one, and obviously these ones were already found for you, but you go to it, you see where it points to Jesus Christ in one passage. Now remember, you can't base a doctrine off one passage. So you go to the next one. Does it point to Jesus Christ? Yes. Okay. Now we got something. Go to the next one. The third verse talks about Jesus Christ being a lion. Okay, now we really have something, because by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established, right? You got a good doctrine there. Now the next time you go through your Bible and you're reading, you know, maybe through Proverbs or something like that, or Peter, You come across the word lion, and right away, that should be a light bulb for you. Oh, that's referring to Jesus Christ, right? Those key words will open up the scripture to you in a way that, for me, was just, I loved it. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. It took me a while to grasp it, but when you start reading through your Bible, it becomes more enjoyable. It becomes sweeter to go through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. Again, you got to think of all those books that God could have given us. And he compressed it down into here. A little book you can fit in your back pocket. So those words, those jots, those tittles have a meaning. And it's your job to find out why they're there. It is your job to study the Word of God so that way when someone comes up to you and asks, hey, you know, I got a situation here, you can go to the Bible and give them the answer and know with assurance how to get those answers by using these. Now, again, for time's sake, this stuff is exciting. Stuff is really exciting. These are keywords for the Word of God. Now, what do you need to live by? Every word, right? So would it not be something important for Christians to study, to know when God's talking about his word in his word? Because that's what you need. Now look at some of these things. It's interesting. A lot of these things are the things that we eat. Meat, milk, bread, honey, apples, right? Seed, corn, water. Those things are the things that are essential for a good health, physically, right? Right? Well then, as a Christian, the Word of God has that full, complete diet for you. You look at any one of these, sword shows up 424 times. Obviously, we're not going to tackle that one. Or should we? No. This is exciting stuff. But so one of my favorites is milk. Shows up 48 times. Give me 1 second to turn there. As a newborn babe, we're supposed to desire the sincere milk of the word. And again, if you are just starting a relationship personally with the Lord, you're going to need some milk. You're going to need to grow. Here it is. 1 Peter chapter 2. I believe I just quoted this. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh. And verse 1, it says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, notice, there's five things that are going to kill your Christianity. Read that list. Five things. We'll get to numbers later. Five is number of death. Verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may what? Grow. You know what your job, as we learned from Brother Ian, you know what your job is? To grow. How do you grow? Through the milk of the word. My son drinks milk all the time, right? Give it to him morning, noon, and night. That's a good time for Christians to read their Bible, morning, noon, and night, just like a baby, right? You feed them, they get bigger. Feed them more, they get bigger. And eventually you'll be able to stand on your own. That way you're not tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. All right, so another one. Keywords for the church. That's who we are, right? Keywords for the church. Shows up, virtuous woman shows up 3 times. That's an easy one that we could do. But the church, the Lord has something for us. Obviously, if you go to Revelation, I was tempted to go to Revelation chapter 3. The Laodicean church period is not doing very good. The Lord's not too happy with us, right? So it makes me wonder why. We have all this knowledge. We have Bibles coming out of our ears. In fact, probably most of us could go home and grab a stack of Bibles and probably not be able to carry it more than, you know, half a mile because it gets so heavy. I got all these Bibles, right? And the people over in Malawi have the John and Romans and they get pictures. They're smiling because they have just a John and Romans. We have knowledge coming out of our ears and it's stuffed into our heads. Are we actually believing it? Are we actually, most importantly, doing it, right? Supposed to do. That is the key. That's like Christians know, Christians believe, but a true Christian will actually do and apply, right? Because otherwise you're good for nothing. You're like a cloud without rain. More. Let's see here. Don't have a lot more. We're almost done. Okay. Keywords for the last days. These are the times we're living in. So as you go through your Bible and you see clouds or you see trouble or darkness or those days, like Pastor Kyle always mentions, you wonder, how does Pastor Kyle just go through the Bible and when he teaches us, he can just like read a passage and then all of a sudden apply it. It's cool. Well, you can do the same thing. Know these keywords, study them out for yourself. And when you go through and read your Bible, whether it's the dry parts or whether it's the fun stories, these keywords will jump out at you and you'll start to know them. You'll start to memorize them. And you'll even start to see new ones. As I was studying this, I found three more keywords. So again, go to your concordance, open it up, find the first mention, those days, right? Or the day of the Lord shows up 31 times. Those are all pointing to future events. You want to be able to prophesy? Know these keywords, because then you could go to your Bible, find those keywords, and be like, ah, this is talking about the end times. This is coming up. This is what's going to happen. How do we know about the mark of the beast? How do we know, like, right? How do we know about those things? Because of the Word of God and these keywords. It's, again, the Word of God is simple. The Lord knew that we are dumb sheep. He knew we would need all the help we could get when it comes to understanding, so he made it simple for us. Keywords of the Antichrist. Are we going to see him? Are we going to know it's the Antichrist before we get out of here? Now, I'm not saying I know that, but you can learn a lot about the enemy that's coming. You can learn that he's a Sodomite. You can learn that he's connected with religion. You could know that he's going to be part Syrian and part Jew. You could know he's going to be fat. You can know how he's going to die. You can know he's going to lose an eye, right? So many things you know about this man. How? How do you know? Because it doesn't just say the Antichrist is going to have, you know, a sword chop off his eye or whatever, right? It's through these key words, the wicked. Anytime you see the wicked, that's a huge one. A lot of times that refers to Antichrist. Again, not a magic wand, but it's a rule of thumb. It's a rule of thumb, and it'll open up the scriptures to you. Guys, I'm excited to teach this to you, but I hope when you go home and you start, you know, going through these, I encourage you to take pictures of this. Read it for yourself. Study the Word of God. Because the more you know the Word of God, the less you will be tempted to fall into temptation. The more you know as a Christian, yes, you're going to get a bigger head. Knowledge puffeth up. You got to grow in knowledge and in grace, right? It's so easy to suck up all this knowledge, especially with the age of the internet and phones, and you could just like bamboozle your way through all these keywords, right? Get all this knowledge, but don't forget to apply it. It is a good thing. Once you are rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you've been saved for 5-7 years, you've got some of these keywords down, go out, witness to someone, get them in church, and then disciple them. That is how the Bible says we're supposed to teach other men, faithful men, right? That is how I get super excited about this stuff, by teaching it. Because you get it in you, and it washes through you, and you memorize it, and you know it more and more. And every time you go through it, something new pops out at you. It's a good thing to feed a babe in Christ, if you can. If you can disciple him. I'm not saying that a babe should be discipling a babe. But once you've sat under preaching and teaching, and once you've read through your Bible, and once you've gone through keywords and studied the Word of God, and studied the doctrines that you should know and understand why we believe what we believe, it's a good thing to go and feed others, because you get a big head if you're not putting it out. Right. Got to put it out. Amen. And then miscellaneous keywords here. We're almost done. Miscellaneous keywords, there's a lot of them. And like I said, I found three more while I was studying these. But just got to follow the 10 rules, and you can find them on your own. Get your concordance. If you see a word that seems to point to something, look it up. That's part of studying. You don't know until you know, right? Study it out. Compare scripture with scripture. Don't base a doctrine off of one verse or a question, or don't mix up something that's, you know, clear by obscuring it with something that's unclear. Got to follow those rules. But this will open up your eyes to the truths and doctrines of God's word. Lastly, so here's the numbers. And these ones are pretty common. You probably know them if you've been sitting under Pastor Carl for any amount of time. But one represents unity. Jesus Christ, the Godhead, is three in one. That goes next with three. God is a triune being. We are three parts to us, right? Body, soul, and spirit. We are made in the image of God. Well, we're actually in Adam's image. One day we will have the image of God again. Four, most of the time, points to Earth's end times. That one's a little, sometimes it's a little unclear, but most of the time it points to Earth's end times. Five is death. Six represents man, pretty obvious, right? Seven is perfection. That's your lucky number, although it's not luck, right? Eight is new beginnings. Nine, fruitfulness. 10, Gentiles. Destruction for 11, the Jews for 12, rebellion for 13, and 40 for testing. Now, I went through those quickly because a lot of times you could even find these in references. God put his book together with numbers. Why did he do that? Like, why did... Sometimes I look at a verse and he'll stop with a comma and start the next verse. Like, why did he do that? And then you look at all the perversions out there and they keep the same numbering system. It's like, you guys are stupid. Just kind of like... fix your numbers there. Don't just leave it blank, right? We're being honest. Yeah, right. So the Word of God has these numbers in place for a reason. Go to Genesis 5:5. Who dies in Genesis 5:5? Take a guess. First man, Adam, right? Genesis 13:13. Guess what that talks about? Sodomites. Yeah, rebellion. The ultimate rebellion against God because they've forgotten God. They don't want to retain him in their knowledge. Guys, this is exciting stuff, and I know it's late. I appreciate your attentiveness, but this really stirs me up when I get to study the Word of God because this opens your eyes when you're reading, and I kid you not, I really do actually enjoy reading Leviticus and Numbers now because of these keywords. There are so many pictures that you could see of Jesus Christ. There's so many pictures you could see of the church, so many things that you can work on as a Christian and realize, oh, I need to work in that area. Because of these key words. And I hope tonight, especially you young people, again, at 15 years old, as a missionary kid, God was my God because he was my parents' God. You get in this book and you start soaking your mind in the Word of God and these key words, and God will become your God on a personal level. Start reading the Bible and don't just read it to check it off. We've heard that so many times in preaching, right? Don't just check it off. Study it. Enjoy it. It is sweet. It is deep. It is unfathomable, right? And it's perfect. All right, let us bow with a word of prayer.